Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. Men's T Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T or visit mensteclinic.com.
Here we go. Hour two, G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Chip Brown talking UT in Georgia is now just 20 minutes away. Krusty's Corner's coming up at 3:40. And in 1 hour, Jarrett Bell, USA Today NFL reporter here, talks some Cowboys at the bye week. Here's Woolchuck with your NFL news of the day.
Well, Broncos got it done last night in Thursday Night Football, but the Saints suffer just another injury. I mean, this team has just had so much bad luck ever since their fans stormed into AT&T Stadium and they demolished the Cowboys. And then the following Monday, they're like planting the flag at midfield of the Cowboys' little practice football field outside the Star, you know.
Tostitos Plaza.
All of a sudden, it's like things are not going their way, and the latest is local product, DFW kid, Saints cornerback Paulson Adebo, is out for the season after surgery on a broken femur, which he suffered last night in the game. So, man.
That is a very tough injury to pull off on a football field.
Yes. So he left. He had to get carted off in a vacuum cast. And Dennis Allen said surgery went well, going to be a lengthy recovery. It's going to cost him the season, but the surgery did go well. So that's a good sign. Now, Derek Carr has been out with an oblique injury. They're eyeing a week 8 return for him. But, you know, just thoughts and prayers right now with Black and Gold B, legendary Tolo. I'm sure we'll hear from him.
Oh, he's got to be in a brutal place
right now. Bad place. Yeah, I mean, he was hyping himself up like they had a chance to win last night.
Yeah, you know, you get that little tease of something that's possible. You see your team play great. It takes a while to totally get it out of your system. That's just not who they were.
No,
you know?
It's tough. I've been there many, many times myself, and it'll probably happen. Like Lucia said earlier, like what if they beat the 49ers? Well, what the hell if they beat the 49ers? You guys kidding me? Are you kidding? What if they go into San Francisco and beat the 49ers?
Might be the greatest post game ever.
Hey, it's going to be amazing.
Just had to get Blandon Micah back.
That's all it is.
Go back to Cowboys and turn it around.
Yes. You know what? Jerry's turning point. Right. We're football idiots. We don't know a damn thing.
I'll hang up and listen to your thoughts.
Jerry, I love you. But I don't know. Hey. Just if, but I get it. That's part of being a fan. Now, the Saints did match the Cowboys, actually, for an NFL record of futility. Saints now are just the second team to open a season with 2 wins by 20 points or more. Only to immediately follow that 2-0 start with a 5-game losing streak. Only other time that's happened was in 1965 when the Cowboys actually started pretty damn hot that season. They beat the Giants 31-2. Then they beat Washington 27-7. Then they lost 5 straight, dropped to 2-5, but they rebounded. They went 5-2 over the final 7 weeks, finished 500 at 7-7. All right, I don't know if that's going to happen for the Saints. This is bad. Chris Olave's been hurt. Cesar Ruiz has been out. Rashid Shaheed got hurt. Eric McCoy, their center's out for the year. Taysom Hill's missing time. The injury list for them just gets longer every single week. But you're so right, Brian. Like, the team the Cowboys got demolished by week 2 were like, holy crap, Clint Kubiak, you're the man. This team seriously could be a contender in the NFC.
They scored like 71 points in the last 5 games.
Now they're looking like that, probably going to have a top 10 pick.
Yeah. Dennis Allen probably fired.
Yeah, life comes at you fast in the NFL.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Crazy.
This is amazing news. Ricky Pearsall is expected to debut against the Chiefs for the 49ers.
How about that?
This is less than 2 months after suffering a gunshot wound that just missed like a big-time artery in his chest. So John Lynch hinted today he's got a chance to suit up against Kansas City. Either way, a miraculous story, and to see him back on the football field. Same thing with Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb's going to play. That was official today. Another guy coming off of a massive knee injury. But, I mean, this one, a gunshot wound to the chest. Holy moly.
Man, that's amazing. Maybe even more impressive than Brian Robinson, who somehow got shot through the knee and played that season. You know, I think that's two stories like in the last 3 years of dudes getting shot one way or another and being able to play that season. It's amazing that a bullet can fly through you and leave you relatively unscathed.
Yeah, it is. It's incredible. Now, Jonathan Taylor's not going to be playing for the Colts. Shane Steichen ruled him officially out. So if you're a fantasy owner, you need to make note of that. Anthony Richardson's been cleared to start on Sunday. Now, I'm not going to say that he's playing because we thought he was playing last week. Then all of a sudden it was Joe Flacco who started. I am wondering a little bit if they really think inside that building right now, just where they are in their careers, Joe Flacco gives them a better opportunity to win than Anthony Richardson does. But if you're a Colts fan, you got to see what you got in this kid, man. You need to put Anthony Richardson out there. That's also a team that I don't think is, they're probably not going to make the playoffs. Maybe they can compete for wild card spot.
I appreciate what you've done, Joe Flacco, but I've got
to
figure out.
You got to go back to Richardson here. Yeah, you got to play the kid.
Well, how many games has he played? I mean, we're
still. Seems like everyone he plays,
he gets hurt. Six.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I got to give him maybe 15, 20 games before I'm sure.
Yeah, you got to put him out there, man. Now, Mike,
we can get there. We have another 4 years or another 2 years left before we have to, you know, make that fifth year decision.
Yeah.
So
they've got control of them, that's for sure.
If I feel like we can make the playoffs with Flacco, I might decide to let Richardson watch for a while.
It's amazing, Joe Flacco. He's still doing it. He's doing it at a high level. Mike Tomlin has said that he is decided on a starter, but that decision is going to remain in-house. So no starting announcement for the Steelers. George Pickens didn't get that memo. Mm-hmm. George Pickens told everybody in the locker room that Russell Wilson's going to make the start. He said, yeah, we've been getting on the same page after practice, throwing more than usual because this is his first start, said George Pickens to the media. So, I mean, this is just another indication. Mike Tomlin's trying to play coy, little gamesmanship here. George Pickens is like, Coach, whatever, dude. We know Russ is starting, and I'm not going to hide it from anybody.
Yeah, you got to take a look at what that might be. You know, I think everybody is going to like Justin Fields more than Russell Wilson. I think right now, though, the Steelers are in a fortunate spot where they haven't had Russell Wilson play and then not be accountable for his mistake. So Russell's likable for now until he goes out there and fails and, you know, then does his thing. But it'll be interesting to see because I have a lot of respect for that Steelers team. And if they can get credible quarterback play, I think, you know, they're one of the few teams that can.
Yeah, absolutely. If they find a quarterback again, they're right back in there for contending in the AFC every year to possibly go to the Super Bowl like they were with Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
They're well coached. They've always got a good defense. They just don't have a quarterback right now. And they could use some more talent out wide. I mean, Jordan Lewis, we know how they feel about George Pickens. Now, 817 said you have 86% chance of surviving and thriving after a gunshot. That's Holton PD cop.
Wow.
Yeah, 86% chance.
Thriving?
And thriving.
Thriving.
It's got to depend on where you get shot, though.
Like, it's healthy for you. Like, man, you can eat it. You get a shot, bro. You get a boost.
Yeah.
Like, it's hip-hop or something. I got shot five times. Platinum album coming soon.
Got a new lease on life.
Bet payoff.
Get shot.
Get shot. You're gonna thrive after that, bro.
If I'm telling you, you get shot, and now your hip's thriving afterwards, Gavin. Would you take that?
Would you shoot me in the shoulder?
Now you're full health.
The right shoulder.
Not only full health, bro. You're gonna be thriving.
Nothing more than a 9mm, but let's dance.
All right, let's do it.
100% heard conversations like this when I was in the Navy with guys that did not want to go on tour.
Yeah.
100% heard conversations.
Shooting the calf.
I've heard this, bro.
Shooting the foot.
This is deja vu.
No, not the foot, not the calf. I don't know where you'd want to take the shot.
I don't know either.
You want to get grazed like in the hamstring area, I think.
Just merely a flesh wound.
Having the butt.
No ligaments, no tendons. You want to go through a fleshy, like you through your belly. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'll get shot in the belly.
You want to get gut shot?
No, right through the belly. Right through the fat in your belly.
No.
Gut, bro.
Yeah, shoot the gut.
Lucia said no. Lucia.
No.
You don't have thick enough fat if you can't imagine what I'm talking about.
I do, but you don't.
Well, what about all those intestines and stuff? You might have to get intestines removed.
You want it sideways.
Oh.
Like I'm saying.
Boom. Okay.
Shoot me in the rear.
Yeah, right through the blubber.
Fatty tissue.
Yeah, shoot me in the butt, bro.
Yeah.
Let's go.
No, you're right. Probably the butt. Yeah. Because the gut, if it accidentally takes a right turn into your intestine, you're Dunsky. You're looking at sepsis within two hours.
We don't want that. We don't want
that
happening.
What are we talking about here?
You know, you just never know. It's a football Friday.
Okay? Yeah, two football players have been shot and returned to the team within a couple
Tank
of months.
Dell got shot in the leg, too. We can make it three.
That's right. That's three.
Boom.
It's happening like one a year. These guys are amazing.
America.
Damn right. We got to be prepared. All right, Eagles have ruled out tight end Dallas Goedert with a hammy. Offensive tackle Jordan Mailata also has a hammy. They're outski for Sunday against the Giants. Maybe you get a Giants upset there against the Eagles.
It would be a giant upset.
It would be. Okay, Max Crosby. I mentioned you don't think so?
Nah.
Like, no, it's pretty
I think they can beat them.
Dawson picked the Eagles. We have a chance.
One special teams play, one turnover.
I bet you took the Commandos.
Eagles can't score enough. They're pathetic. I've been you're denying me my victory lap on calling Jalen Hurts for multiple years.
No, we are not denying you. We propped you up on a pedestal. We gave you all your flowers
for
that.
Not what it felt like.
What?
Not what it felt like.
You take the floor. You want a victory? Go ahead.
I told everybody Jalen Hurts couldn't play. You know, he was a running quarterback with an amazing offensive line, two number one wide receivers, and you're like, no, you're in denial. There's no way Dak's better than him. I'm like, dude, Dak's better than him every day of the week, twice on Sunday. And you guys were like, no.
Damn, look
at Dawson making up stuff about football again. I think that's exactly what Brian said.
I did.
Dawson.
Thank you.
What did I say again?
There goes Dawson making up stuff about football. Hadn't scouted a day in his life.
Scout
Gavin rides again.
You know, when we had this conversation previously, I also gave you credit for Terrence Steele. I think you're right about that, too.
Thank you.
That was six plays. That's all it took.
That was amazing.
Yep.
All right. I can relax now.
Scout Dawson.
Did that feel better? Was that therapeutic?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm glad.
Thank you.
Now, the Crosby trade stuff, this is getting a little spicy, okay? Yesterday, I mentioned that the bowl cut said that, no, I'm not trading by any means Max Crosby. Well, listen to Crosby talking with Crunch Time Sports yesterday at his locker.
Crunch Time.
He might be open to a trade.
I'm not here to rebuild. I'm here to win. So, you know, I don't know whatever that means. But, yeah, I'm here to win now. And wherever I'm going to be, I'm going to be here to win. So that's all that matters to me. I'm not here to rebuild. I'm here to win.
That's, keep doing that.
I know. I hate when that happens. And I can't take it off the audition thing. Okay.
Are you saying you're not very good at your job?
No, this isn't a me problem. This is an audition.
Gator.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. Mm. This has nothing to do with me.
I thought maybe you had something to do with this.
No, I can't take responsibility. I'm not very good at the job, Ryan, but this, not my fault. Max Crosby was talking about how he got the Raiders tatted on him. This was like 2 weeks ago.
Ooh.
He's like, I've got this tatted on him.
He's got a million tats.
I'm not going anywhere. Like, this means a lot to me. Now he's talking about, I'm going to be here to win, so that's all that matters wherever I'm going to be.
He looked up tattoo removal.
I think he's very open now to being traded. He sees the writing on the wall, looks around. Devontae Adams is gone. We don't have a quarterback here. Antonio Pierce might get bleep can. Brady's here. What the hell is he going to do? He's got 5% ownership. They're acting like he's the new owner. He's the shot caller here. Maybe I do want to get the bleep out of here. And all of a sudden, I look across the way, and Detroit's got an opening. That looks pretty good.
Yeah, that looks like a lot of fun over there. I mean, salute to Max Crosby for staying positive, right? This is like a dream employee for managers. Like, he has been in a horrible, underperforming environment, and he never got a bad attitude.
No.
I mean, the guy got a tattoo 2 weeks ago. I wouldn't have been able to make it through year two before I was like, get me the hell out of here. Yeah. There's no way in age. Have you seen our owner, Mark Davis? We're not winning. They hired Gruden out of the TV booth a couple of years back.
They've brought in Mike Mayock, too.
What the hell? He's just now realizing it. I think maybe an agent or a family member was like, Max, we need to let you know.
What's going on here?
It's not good.
I can't believe you have a problem with my son.
He just needs a better barber, man. Told Dak to go to the barber shop. Mark, you got to do something with that bowl cut, bro. That is not a good look. Now, Za'Darius Smith is also intrigued by the idea of maybe going to the Lions. Za'Darius Smith, who played with the Packers, played with the Vikings, and now is a member of the Cleveland Browns, he was asked about trade rumors. He said, you know, that's not my decision. I would rather you ask them to see what that would be. But he said he hates the injury happened to Hutchinson, a guy that was on his way to get Defensive Player of the Year possibly. That's a big loss. But if I was to go to Detroit, I would like it because I get to play Green Bay twice a year and the Vikings twice a year. So, yeah, that'll be big. That could also be an option for the Lions. It's amazing. You start winning. You build a culture over there with Dan Campbell.
Yeah, everyone's nobody wanted to go to
Ben
Detroit.
Johnson. They're running offensive linemen on 11 routes during the – they're like, everyone around the league, oh, yeah, I think I'd like to go play for those guys over
there. That's crazy. I've never seen him talk about it so openly.
Za'Darius Smith, add him to the list. Now, Byron Murphy, local kid, DeSoto, stand up. Texas Longhorn as well. They're taking on the Falcons. Seahawks, Falcons, Battles of the Bird. Murphy's taking this personally. He said, they passed up on me. That's their fault. That's a big loss for them. They're going to feel me on Sunday. He thought Falcons at pick 8 this year might take him. They didn't. He slides down the draft boards. Seahawks get themselves a steal. He's looking to take it out on Kirk Cochains and company in Atlanta. Watch out. You don't want to kick off Mr. Murphy.
Mm. No. If I was Kirk, I'd be like, man, the GM's upstairs if you want to go kick his ass.
I didn't want him to take Michael Penix either. Hey,
see the old man with the red vest on? Yeah. Go get him.
Dude, they told me they were going to take you too, bro. Like, hey, go ahead and tackle Penix Jr. during the warm-ups. Go take him out. I don't need any of this. I don't want the smoke here with you.
Here's your Thank you, Woolchuck. Chip Brown talking Longhorns next year. It's the G-Bag Nation.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
105.3 The Fan. Yeah, buddy, welcome back. G-Bag Nation, it's time to talk Longhorns and Georgia with Chip Brown here, longtime Longhorns reporter and insider. Segment's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is the victim of negligence, call the Frankels for a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go online at frankelfirm.com. Yeah, it covers the Longhorns for Horns247.com. You can also hear him streaming on Texas Sports Unfiltered. They are from 1 to 3 every day, Texas time. Chip Brown, good afternoon to you, sir. How the heck are you?
Doing good. How you doing?
Doing wonderful, thank you. What was your show like today? Paint the picture for how energized the audience is for this big weekend.
Well, it's I think this is an enormous opportunity. I go back 60 years to Texas playing Arkansas in 1964 to find a game as big as this one. Texas was number one. Arkansas was number eight. And Arkansas beat Texas. Texas had just won the national championship in 63. That, of course, was the Arkansas team with Jerry Jones and Jimmy Johnson. They beat Texas 14-13. And Texas won all the rest of their games that year. But Arkansas went undefeated and claimed the national championship. And Daryl Royal told me in 2000 that game still ate at him. Wow. Because he felt like that 64 team was one of the best teams he ever had. So, you know, it's different now, obviously. Sports writers, you know, picked the national champion of college football. Now you got this 12-team playoff. So could Texas lose to Georgia tomorrow night and still be in, you know, playoff contention? Absolutely. But I think this is a critical moment in time. I think their culture is a little off. I think, you know, Kirby won back-to-back national championships, and then, you know, you had all the speed racing, you know, speed racer issues out there, and it's not funny. I mean, there's now, what, 27 since January of 2023 that have happened? It just feels like something's off, and I think we're seeing it on the field with Georgia, but we also saw them play incredible desperate football and coming back from 28-0 down at Alabama. You know, after Carson Beck threw interceptions, plural, he you know, lit it up and threw deep ball touchdown passes and got them the lead with 2 minutes and change. And it was incredible. But then Jalen Milroe was, you know, excuse me while I whip this out, and he throws it to Ryan Williams for a one play game winning touchdown drive ball game. But I just think, you know, this is an unbelievable opportunity for Steve Sarkisian, who's trying to build a national championship program. He said, you know, in February, I'm, quote, borderline obsessed with winning a national championship. And if I get one, I'm going to want two. And this is his moment. You know, Kirby's the top Saban assistant. He's got two national championships. Sarkisian's trying to get there. And this is a battle between two programs at the peak of their powers.
Hey, Chip, what has made Sark different from all the others? You've covered that football team a long time. I thought you were going to tell me you were there at the 64 game, you know, talking to Daryl Royal in the locker room with a you know, with a cigarette in your hand and a bottle of Coke, you know, Coca-Cola, something like that.
I wish. That sounds fun.
Sound like a lot of fun. But what's different about Sark as all the others that have come since?
You know, Brian, it's his journey. I mean, this guy, you know, obviously played the game, played at a high level. And then he, you know, got on the fast track in coaching. He was a head coach at Washington at 33. He says now it was too much too soon. Then he gets the USC job, and we all know he crashes and burns in just, like, spectacular fashion in public at a pep rally. Sues USC after getting fired. Like, he was the leper of college football. Nick Saban extends an opportunity, and Sarkisian gets back on his feet, like, owes the guy his life. They're together right now. You know, Saban's here for game day, so they're hanging out in the bubble. But, you know, Sarkisian's journey, and when he interviewed for the job, he said, here's how I'm going to build the program. We're going to get bigger in the trenches. We're going to get faster on the outside. And I'm going to coach culture. And that was, you know, this culture. He has the team meet on Wednesdays during the summer, and they all tell their stories to each other over the course of weeks, to the point where every player tells his story to every other player on the team and every other coach. And Sarkisian starts it off by talking about his crash and burn journey and why he's so appreciative to be in this room with these guys and to, you know, celebrate every day and don't get complacent. Don't get arrogant, because when you do, that's when you take your greatest fall. And these guys have bought into it. And I think, you know, Sarkisian knows it's a fragile fabric, and you're always trying to pass culture from one team to the next. It doesn't always work. You know, he had 30 new players, and I think he feels like it worked. Like, he got the culture to pass. And so I think this team is bonded. I know that sounds campfire and hokey, but that's what makes Sarkisian different. Like, he's a flawed human who has a message that really resonates. Oh, and by the way, he's one of the best play designers and play callers in college football. And he hired, you know, a really good defensive coordinator, because we all know, if you're an offensive-minded head coach, you're going to be made or broken by your defensive coordinator. Just, you know, like the defensive-minded head coaches are made or broken by their OC. So I think Sarkisian's been, it's been fascinating to watch, because you had the arrogance and the hubris of Tom Herman, and he burned bridges everywhere here, and they couldn't wait to get rid of him, even though he was winning. And then you bring in Steve Sarkisian, who's got this, you know, I know how lucky I was and how appreciative I am. And so I think it's interesting, and they're talented.
Getting set for Texas Georgia with Chip Brown here on 105.3, the Fan of the G-Bag Nation. Isaiah Bond, what's his status looking like? And I think the matchup that I've seen where Georgia could have an advantage in this one would be Carson Beck versus the Texas secondary. Is that one where maybe you're also looking at, okay, Texas maybe could be at a disadvantage here? Or are you more high on the secondary than others?
Yeah, so I'll start with Isaiah Bond. He's going to be available. He was upgraded from questionable to probable last night. And I don't think he's going to be, you know, full strength, but I think he'll be out there. I like Ryan Wingo in this game, big number five, freshman receiver, most explosive receiver on the team. But then, you know, the secondary. Yeah, so they have not played anybody offensively. You know, Michigan's defense, totally legit. Quinn Ewers looked great in navigating that defense. As far as the Texas defense, the highest scoring offense they've faced is Mississippi State at number 71. Everyone else is below that. So it's easy to say, you know, they have not been tested. And And I think Carson Beck has gotten some rhythm with his playmakers. I think it's going to be a really good test because we saw Georgia against Alabama. They got some guys loose for big play touchdowns. Texas has not given up explosive plays this year. I think Andrew Makuba coming in from Clemson and the fact that he, Michael Taft from Westlake, and Jahdae Barron, the boundary corner, who went to Pflugerville Connolly, all trained together in high school under a trainer named Bam Blake. And I think those guys developed a bond, you know, starting then, that is now really helping this secondary communicate. They're just not making the mental errors that they have. And so I think they're ready for the test. I think this is a much better pass defense than the one that was ranked 113th at the end of last year, giving up, you know, 254 yards a game.
Chip, I got to cover a lot of high school football, and it seemed like in DFW, up until the last handful of years, like Oklahoma, Texas A&M, they would do a better job of recruiting DFW than Texas was doing, and that has certainly changed. When you look at that Texas roster, Malik Muhammad, Colin Simmons, Anthony Hill, I mean, heck, Jontae Cook, who's not seeing the field much, but the list goes up. Quinn Ewers, the list goes on and on.
Quintravian Wisner.
Right, absolutely. I mean, how much has that really helped build this program by getting back and making an emphasis on recruiting DFW?
Enormous. I mean, Jeff Banks, one of the best recruiters in college football, made that a priority, and Sarkisian made it a priority. I mean, you know, Banks had been at A&M. He knew how critical that area was and how, you know, sort of flip, I don't want to say flippant, but kind of flippant, you know, Tom Herman, like Charlie Strong, I don't know, you know, he got Malik Jefferson out of the DFW area. But, you know, I look at Sarkisian and Banks, and they've just gone straight in there and pulled out. I mean, my God, Anthony Hill, and the fact that they just inserted Leonga Lafau as middle linebacker so they can move Hill around for the very first time against Oklahoma, and Hill finishes the game with 11 tackles, 3.5 tackles for loss, 2 sacks, and a forced fumble. Like, if that's the return on investment for that move, Anthony Hill may be making his case Saturday night for the Butkus, the Nagurski. So, the DFW talent is enormous on this team. Colin Simmons leads the team in sacks. Quintravian Wisner has kind of become the go-to running back, Quinn Ewers from South Lake. So, you know, I think the big question is Quinn Ewers. You know, he did not look right against Oklahoma. And he was asked on Monday, okay, were you feeling any lingering effects from the abdominal strain? And he said, it felt a little different, but nothing drastic, which can be code for, yeah, I was feeling something. So, you know, I think that's the $1 million. I mean, if you get elite Quinn Ewers, I expect to see the Quinn Ewers that was at Michigan, that was at Alabama last year. But if he's still, you know, feeling it, then, you know, Steve Sarkisian's going to have he might have a decision to make. I mean, they were good enough last week. They kind of stopped throwing deep. They kind of just stayed with the 5 and 10 yard stuff and they won 34-3, but Carson Beck wasn't the opposing quarterback.
Enjoy this historic weekend, Chip. Thank you so much, and we'll catch up with you soon. There he goes, Chip Brown, Horns247.com, longtime Horns reporter and insider. He's dialed. He's hardwired into that football team, isn't he? Okay, when we come back, it's time for Krusty's Corner with Brian Broaddus. What's in store today, buddy?
Yeah, I got some questions for my guys on a Friday. We'll do that next.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. It is the G-Back Nation here on 105.3 The Fan, rocking and rolling here with you on a football Friday. And it's time for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. And here he is, King of the Krusty's, Brian.
Thank you very much, General. Appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Reliant as well for getting that done. Hey, Dawson, real quick on those the things I made for lunch.
Yeah, the chili dogs.
The chili dogs. Was it You said you really, really liked the chili.
Yeah.
What could I have done different on the corn dogs? I made those from scratch.
Well, thank you for asking, by the way. One of the finest corn dogs I've ever had. Okay. Now, I prefer a premium dog.
The dog was,
yeah.
Okay.
You don't like the Hebrew National dog, huh?
Yeah, you didn't like the Hebrew National. Like the Hebrew
Nothing
National.
Specific against the Hebrew National, just the budget dog in general. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we can find more premium sausages. I'm with you on that. I do like a Hebrew National, but I think the sweetness that you had.
Yeah, it's the sugar. They actually, when you make, some people put brown sugar in the batter for the, you know, to give this some, because it actually says you could put, you know, some, you know, just regular sugar in it. But some people say you put brown sugar in it to give it a little bit more color.
The flavor profile was outstanding. The corn dog component combined with the spiciness of the chili.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, again, one of the finest corn dogs I've ever had.
I appreciate you saying it. I knew you would tell me, but I could say I think you could.
Could
do,
you char the regular dog? Well, you know,
something from this.
You can't. Like, yeah, you could.
You think a brat would be a way to go?
I don't know, because you need them like thinner.
Yeah,
maybe an Earl Campbell hot link.
See, I'd say you'd have to cook it. You'd have to cook it and then try and put the. See, because what you do is you put the skewers on it. You put the skewers through it and then dip the hot dog into the batter and then immediately put it into the deep fryer.
Gotcha.
So that might not work with a real bratwurst or something like that.
No, you're right.
It has to be encased.
Yeah. So,
but I thought it was fantastic. I mean, the only thing, it's tough just for transportation purposes, but like the steam, so it loses a little bit of the crisp of the corn dog once you fry it. But
that's the problem.
That's not your fault.
I'm always dealing with that because when I bring it up here, it's like I want to serve it hot.
Yeah, there's nothing you can do about that.
But then that in the steam in the container and then the transporting thing always keeps it hot, and I need to work on that.
It was delicious. that's final level type stuff. If you want to get into a restaurant and like make food and 8 hours later have it seem like it just came off the deal, you know what I'm saying? No. It's hard to store that food.
It's
I always wonder how barbecue joints do that.
It was like every time I've done those, like for you guys that did the crab rangoons before, and they need to be really, really crisp, you know, but then you transport them and they get, because the steam of the.
But the filling was still fire.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. All right. Let's kind of get a little bit of a college flair to it today. No Cowboy game this week, but I want to ask you guys a few questions, if I could, about the college game. Not evaluations or anything like that, but more personal.
I had my scouts eye ready.
More personal things. Okay.
I'll scout the hell out of them for you, Brian.
I know you will.
I'll get you on the draft show.
But I do appreciate your what you said about it. I'll get better on that. That hot dog, I promise you. All right. How about this one, Wooly Bully?
Yep.
Lucius, you could also play in this one if you want. If you want to. You don't have to if you want to.
Nah.
Guys, have a chance to get a field pass this week.
Okay.
Have a chance to get a field pass. Get to watch the game from the field.
Which game?
You pick in Georgia, Texas.
Oh, oh yeah.
Or you pick in Alabama and Tennessee.
Where's that game?
That's in Knoxville.
I've heard Neyland Stadium rivals Death Valley at night.
It's pretty wild there.
It
is wild. And
Neyland's supposed to be an epic environment.
I'll say I could have picked Provo. I could have picked the BYU pass for you
tonight.
Tonight. But this weekend, I'm going with you. Have a field pass. You get to hang down there potentially.
I got it.
With Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah.
Down there.
Well, plus Bennett's down there, you know?
Yeah.
So I figure maybe we could call you and be like, hey, is there any way Bennett could give me access to something a little extra cool? You know?
He's my drinking buddy.
He'll get you a cocktail.
Yeah.
He knows how to get cocktails. But if you could have the field pass, you're going to watch the two SEC games.
I've never seen a game at UT, so I gotta cross that off the bucket list.
Lucius, you're an alum.
Yeah, I'm going down there to UT situation because the college game day is going to be out there.
Right.
Yeah, all the hoopla.
Yeah.
Sixth Street. It's going to be some fights.
Biggest game in 60 years, Chip Brown.
It's going to be some fights, bro.
So, but Lucius, okay, you're going full gear because you're an alum.
Yeah, I'm going
right?
all the way out
you're
there.
Going
well,
all
I still
the way.
I don't owe any money anymore. How about that? Let's just say that.
Lucius, would you? Right, let me ask you this, Lucius, your college football fan, because you're an SMU fan too.
You'll
100%. Pony up. You'll pony up every.
I like them.
If the Ponies were playing a big time game this weekend, or your Longhorns, say the Ponies are playing over here at over here at Ford Field. Big time game. Maybe they're playing.
I'm going to go see the Ponies over the Longhorns. 100%. Really? Yeah, I like that vibe. I like how they went inside the city and started getting the top talent right here in their city.
I like what
you're
doing
And they switched
here.
That brand up, and it was all Triple D's. It was like, yo, we're the hometown team over here. I like that vibe.
I like what they're doing there. Yeah.
They did get a lot of talent going up there.
I think you're right about
football
that.
Football team's all right,
Roster's
too.
Good.
I always thought that was a sleeping giant over there.
It clearly is.
I mean, I always kind of felt like I had a chance to. I wasn't smart enough to go work there. By the way, Phil Bennett wanted to hire me, and I didn't have a master's degree. If I'd had a master's degree, I'd have been able to get a job there.
I don't know if there's a coach that's been in more places than Phil Bennett.
Oh, Phil Bennett's been a lot of
Baylor,
places.
North Texas, yeah, SMU. I think he's covered the entire state.
I would have loved to go on and worked at SMU in recruiting over there.
Oh yeah,
that would have been a blast.
All the rich friends you'd get.
Yeah. Woolly, are you interested in going to Knoxville?
Wear some boat shoes.
Yeah.
You gotta wear your collar up on your polos.
Yeah. Pop that thing.
Yeah.
I think absolutely it's Georgia, Texas. I mean, it's all the talent that you're going to get to watch there when it comes to Jake Majors, the center.
Yeah.
Who's going to be a top pick, both quarterbacks, Ewers and Beck. I'm excited about Isaiah Bond. Gunnar Helm, the tight end there at Texas. The Starks, the safety at Georgia, is another guy to watch. Both offensive lines, Kelvin Banks.
You know,
Banks.
The Senior Bowl guys, you know, Nagy and them are going to be scouting.
Oh, absolutely.
This thing
up, right? I mean, and I think this is going to be a big recruiting weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, if Texas has guys that are there that they're able to have come watch and they win, I mean, that's I'm signing on the spot type. I mean, we're going back to the 60s against Arkansas from Chip Brown, their biggest game you've ever had at home. This is huge for the University of Texas. They can all of a sudden, you beat Georgia. They've been the bullies in the SEC, kind of taking over from Bama. Next thing you know, Texas can take that crown.
Yeah, this could be a signature win for Texas, and all of a sudden they're taking over the SEC. Dawson.
Yeah, what do you got, buddy?
Would there ever be a reason just to stay at a tailgate and not attend the game?
Absolutely. I've done it myself a couple of times.
Have you?
Yes. I think a time or two it involved a lady. And another time, it involved, you know, cheaper beer.
Were you trying to like recruit the lady, or were you already there with the lady?
I was already there with the lady. Didn't have enough tickets to go in. She was staying, so I was staying. There's also, you know, a bathroom type situation. If you know you've imbibed enough that you're going to be going back and forth from the seat to the restroom, maybe that stadium environment's not for you.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you've had enough to drink and you know it's too much, you know, to be that in public. There's all kinds of great reasons. You could have a heater back at the tailgate. It could be a November game. You're in the north. It's colder than hell in the stadium. Back here, we're all right. You know, there's a lot of good reasons, Brian. I'm pro tailgate.
Lucius, any reason ever to be just at stay at the tailgate, not attend the game?
If the pockets is looking funny,
yeah,
your boy ain't got that money. I'm sitting right there at the tailgate. And eat the food and get blasted right there. You know what I mean? Instead of going in there and just have to call the bank later. Yeah, that wasn't me. Somebody picked up my card at the game.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. I need, I'm reporting fraud here, man.
Yeah, this is... I lost my card.
Wooly, is there ever a reason?
Yeah, I think if you don't really care too much about the game...
Wow.
Yeah. Ah, yes, a good one.
It's a regular game.
It's just, yeah. It's
you got like, invited.
You've been invited. Yeah. You're just hanging out with some friends. Maybe it's you're going to visit some friends years in college. I think you definitely will have a better time, actually, at the tailgate. Like, I didn't want to leave. When I went to Arkansas, saw North Texas beat their ass there.
Yeah.
If it wasn't
the fake fail catch?
The punt?
Yeah.
If it wasn't North Texas and I really wanted to go see them win that game, I would have just stayed right there and continued to drink, play cornhole, eat, like... It was an amazing time tailgating.
It's a killer hangout at Arkansas. Yeah. I've done that too.
I kind of, you know what? I'm a big go into the game guy, but I agree with everything you guys say. I think food always will influence me.
Yeah.
If you give,
they got a flat grill out there.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. If there's somebody that's manning the grill or cooking it up, and you just constant food is showing up, and I got my rocker chair that I sit with, you know, my
you can still
chair.
Watch the game there. They've got a TV.
Yeah, but you could hear the crowd.
Yeah.
You could hear it, but you could see it. And somebody like Lucius is saying is working the flat grill, and there's like beverages right there.
There's a section of the tailgate that's what they do.
I'd give up my ticket. Yeah. I would.
Yeah.
I tell you what, need to figure out how to get a bus. If you have a bus at a tailgate, that's even better. Yeah. That you could sit in there. Like you said, you have to go use the restroom and things like
that. Got an RV, something like that.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of advantages to it, especially if the team's not that good.
There you go.
You're not missing much. Now, there's a historic environment inside.
Yeah.
I don't want to miss out on that. But anything short of that,
I'm
good.
You might miss a historic game.
Not going to miss a playoff game.
Final thing real quick with you guys. Is Arch Manning going to bring Texas back in a game tomorrow?
Ooh, I love this question. You just heard Chip say, hey, Sark might have a decision to make. Like if Quinn start, and I don't think so. I think they're going to ride it out with Quinn. But I do think overall, Arch is the better quarterback.
Quinn's pretty dang injury prone. Arch better have it in him. That's all I got to say.
Lucius, your Arch Manning take you home tomorrow night.
I'm kind of nervous about that.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm being kind of nervous about that. Because if you go into him, there's a problem, buddy.
Mm-hmm. I got you. Gentlemen, thank you very much. Appreciate you guys.
Thank you, Brian. Jarrett Bell's going to join us here in just a minute from USA Today. He is an NFL reporter. Had an interesting story about Jerry Jones referencing Dale Hansen and Brad Sham yesterday. And we're back with Jarrett here next. It's the GBAC Nation and the Fan.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.